This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Spending plan? Check.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. The Senate gave its okay yesterday to a spending bill that'll keep the government running through October. President Obama is expected to sign that measure, the $410 billion budget, today. The president says he's not happy with all the fat included in it, and some of his opponents are complaining about it even more. The latest from Ashley Milne-Tite.
The bill contains an 8% increase in spending over last year. It includes more money for things like food aid and housing vouchers for the poor, and the Agriculture Department and Amtrak. But Republicans and some Democrats complain the bill is overflowing with funding for special projects close to lawmakers' hearts. John McCain has been posting his outrage on Twitter. The bill has at least $5.5 billion in earmarks. More than $1 million will go to the non-profit Helen Keller International to give eyeglasses to students with vision problems. The list also includes $238,000 for the Polynesian Voyaging Society in Honolulu. President Obama is expected to announce new rules on earmarks today. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
There's been a lot of complaining lately on Wall Street and in Congress about the Obama administration's lack of detail in its plans to reverse the nation's fallout. To allay those criticisms, Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner says they will soon, in a couple of weeks, roll out a detailed plan for dealing with the bad assets clogging bank balance sheets. Geithner has told PBS's Charlie Rose the plan will succeed, but resolving the financial crisis will take some time. Wall Street went on a big buying spree yesterday after some positive news about Citigroup. Stocks had their best rally of 2009. The Dow shot up more than 5.5% to 69.26. The Nasdaq rose an impressive 7%. The S&P 500 now back above 700 after a big gain there. Asian markets responded positively today. The Nikkei closed higher, 4.5%. Hong Kong shares rose by more than 2%. European markets not so happy this morning. They're mixed. Frankfurt, London, and Paris all down 1 to 2%. If you keep up with Wall Street, you probably know what the uptick rule was. I say was because the Securities and Exchange Commission made it go away in 2007. Democratic leaders on Capitol Hill say we need it back to restrict traders who make money when stocks fall. Here's Marketplace senior business correspondent Bob Moon.
The return of the uptick rule would please those who wish certain short people would just go away. The short people in this case are short sellers. They borrow other people's shares and sell them in hopes the stock price will fall. If they can turn around and buy the stock back cheaper when they return it, they pocket the difference as profit. Opponents complain stocks can be pushed lower when too many short sellers pile on. There was a rule limiting such trading to only when a stock's value was on the rise, an uptick. But the 1930s-era curb was dropped 2 years ago, just before the markets tanked. Enter the defenders of the short people. Eric Newman is a portfolio manager at TFS Capital. He insists eliminating the uptick rule wasn't to blame for the market's woes.
You know, the crash of 87, the bear market of 2002, you know, all of these things happen while the uptick rule was alive and well.
Opponents concede the change isn't the only problem, but Clearbrook Financial's chief investment officer Tom Sawanek says unbridled short selling has added to the crisis of confidence.
We've taken these stocks down to levels that cannot be justified based on fundamentals. We've gone to the other extreme.
Sawanek argues every little bit of restored confidence, namely a return to the uptick rule, can only help. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Accused Ponzi schemer Bernie Madoff could be facing his final hours of freedom. He acknowledged that he'll plead guilty to charges that he engineered one of the largest investment scams in American history. He faces a prison sentence of up to 150 years.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 423 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce emissions. CSX, how tomorrow moves. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
By the number of initiatives President Obama's trying to tackle, it seems like he's been in office a lot longer than 50 days. Education, greenhouse gases, health care reform, the list goes on and on. Commentator Will Wilkinson says the wish list should take a backseat to more pressing economic issues.
You never want a serious crisis to go to waste, White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel has said. Never waste a good crisis, is how Secretary of State Hillary Clinton put it before a European audience last week. The author Naomi Klein has dubbed the exploitation of crisis for political ends the shock doctrine. Klein says it's a special tactic of the right, but as Emanuel and Clinton make clear, it's just how politics works. Not about to waste his opportunity, Obama's going big. A cap-and-trade carbon permit system, a fundamental overhaul of American health care, and huge new subsidies for green technology are just a few of the big-ticket items the president wants to nail down before his window of crisis closes. Meanwhile, there's the crisis itself, which only continues to deepen. At its heart is the wreckage of the American banking system. So what is the administration's plan? Even the experts are struggling to say what it comes to. The transparency Obama promised has not been forthcoming, and the new Treasury seems about as cozy with the banks it's bailing out as the old one. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner has already been honored with a Saturday Night Live sketch portraying him as the embodiment of indecisive ineffectuality. The markets, unnerved by the government's lack of clarity, continue their freefall. During the campaign, Obama repeatedly said we took our eye off the ball when we invaded Iraq. The real problem, he said, was Al-Qaeda, and he was right. But now I fear Obama has taken our eye off the ball. While focusing so much energy on not wasting the crisis itself has deepened from neglect. So let's get our eye back on the ball before the crisis wastes us.
Will Wilkinson is a fellow at the Cato Institute. Share your thoughts with us. Check out our Scratch Pad with online host Scott Jagow. Much more inside our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.